We're back with a special episode, 18 years old, double world champ 2022, double champ at FIBO 2022, 23, and Swoop second place. Crazy, crazy titles, 18 years old. We're talking with Yazi. I'm super looking forward to this interview. Here are the timestamps so you can see all the topics that we talked about. And we had these shooting days with Yazi, 3 days. Crazy content is coming, and we're really looking forward to present you the new advent calendar for calisthenics enthusiasts this year. Enjoy the episode. I'm sitting in front of an 18-year-old who is 2 times world champion, who has numerous titles in really international competitions. And I'm asking myself, who are you? What do you do?
Well, I am Jasmina Svilenova. And like you said, I'm 18 years old. So I'm training from around, 8, 9 years, almost 9. And this is basically my whole life. The trainings and everything. Yes, my biggest passion, you know. I just love it.
And to directly start with a provocative question you asked me, please don't ask provocative, no. But you said you have zero knowledge about the sport. About, not the sport, about maybe nutrition. But you say you're not the one who has the most knowledge, but you are the one having the most success. Why is that?
Well, maybe when I say I have zero knowledge, I don't mean exactly zero, because as a world champion, I know a lot about the sport. But it's sometimes hard for me to explain why. Why is that? But, my body is just really used to it. And for example, I'm not the best teacher in freestyle. So I can explain to you the 360, for example, because it's easy. But the other difficult exercises are a little bit harder in English. It's impossible for me. But my programs that I do, they're in English, of course. And the translator was really great, so everything there is fine. Because maybe the people are going to ask, oh, but she has a program for freestyle, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, the program is fine. But yeah.
So I know you have extremely high standards for yourself, may it be for your skills, may it be for your nutrition, like for a lot of things in your life, you have high standards for yourself. So saying you have zero knowledge is more like a fun thing you say.
Yes, of course.
Okay, because there are things you are doing extremely well, and things that led you to the role of being the world champion. So if you would have to define, and I know it's super hard, but if you would have to define the formula of your success, what is it? Why are you world champion and not someone else?
Well, the formula is really simple. First thing you have to have in your routine is the habit. You know, you have to be really consistent, and this is the most important. The motivation is not in the picture, you know. This is just a thing that is, you have today motivation and tomorrow you don't have. But the consistency is the key. Mm-hmm. And maybe that is the most important that I have, you know, in me, because I'm really consistent with everything. Like everything. If I start to do something, I'm just gonna do it until the end, you know. This is the best and the most important.
So you're training since 8, 9 years, you said. And what does consistency mean? Did you have breaks of training of weeks, months? Or has it been like one flow, one habit of training X times per week? Per week?
Of course, I did have breaks. A lot breaks. In the beginning, actually, I wasn't that serious. I mean, I was training consistently. But in the summer, you know, I was chilling like 2 months, no workouts, nothing. And every time I was starting from the beginning. So basically this year and the previous one are my most serious, and I'm training without stop. I'm training every day, no matter is it Sunday, is it holidays. For example, I even trained on the New Year, because I don't care, it's a New Year. The Christmas, every, you know, holiday, and just really, I am really focused and I'm really into this, and like I said, really consistent.
So consistency plays a big role, but I don't think it's everything. I know that also you have a surrounding, a people who push you, who believe in you, who motivate you, who maybe also hold you accountable. If you say, hey, I'm a really consistent person, it might be true, but your friends remind you of like keeping true to your words. So can you tell us more about your surrounding, training surrounding?
They are really great. Like the people I am close with right now, they're maybe till the end, you know. I'm so happy I found them. They are a lot. I won't say names because I'm going to, you know, it's too much. But they're really reminding me. And when I'm at my low point, you know, when I say, I won't train today because I don't feel great. My, for example, straddle planche is not great. I don't like to do this. And they're like, hey, but you're in the gym. You are the world champion. Just go and do it. You know, they're motivating me and they're reminding me of the stuff I did before to be here. And I have to continue doing this. So yeah, I'm really grateful.
So it's also people with knowledge who hold you accountable, who remind you of your goals, but also of your achievements of the past to keep you doing your thing, right?
Yes, of course.
So I know you're close to getting a new tattoo, which is champion, right?
Yes.
So tell us more about how you define a real champion.
Well, I'm gonna tattoo this, not because only for the sport, you know, but I feel champion in life. Also with the blessed tattoo, I just feel blessed with everything, you know, and the champion is the same. It's not because I won the world championship or something, but I define champion as like I appreciate the small winnings, you know. And I think that is one of the most important things you can do. Because if you don't appreciate the small winnings and the small stuff you do, you can't be really happy with the big one, you know? Because the small steps are the most important. And yes, so I feel like this. So that is why I want this tattoo.
Super interesting, because we spent some days now shooting together, and something I really noticed is that you're someone who is really happy about the small things, that you, as you already said, and it's not something acted, because you're also a great actress, of course, but it's really something I feel that is real, that you appreciate the small moments, that you appreciate the small signs are in life. And I think this gratitude, or you call it being blessed, is a big part of having a stable mindset. But do you still have like times when you fall into a hole mentally?
Well, yes, of course I do. And I can't stop this, because this is part of the journey, part of the life. You know, everybody has a really down moment. And I already did have my lowest point, but it was years ago. And maybe now I feel a little bit powerless, because it's so much stress, so many competitions. I started a lot new things this year, and it's really so much pressure, you know. And I am a bit powerless. The thing I'm really unhappy about is that I was second at the world championship, also the swoop, but there is a different thing. But the championship, it was really sad for me. But I am really motivated for the next competition. I will surprise everyone that I'm sure about. So yeah, stay tuned for really big stuff coming, because maybe this is not enough. And we see it's not enough, so let's go.
Yeah, it's really about the mindset here. There are people that don't feel treated fairly. And on the other hand, there are people like you with the mindset of thinking, I will just work so hard that there is no doubt, that it's like so clear in everybody's eyes. And I think working on what you can influence and not being like a victim of your circumstances and of everything, that is a really big important mindset thing to keep improving yourself and not blaming others.
Yes, I'm trying my best with this because, you know, if you feel like a champion and you think you are the champion, there shouldn't be a reason for you to not be, you know. The bar is slippery or the judging is not okay. Everything, it's not that important. I mean, the judging, of course, it's important because if it's really, really bad, you can't do nothing. But otherwise, yeah, you have to be 5 levels above the others. And yeah, this is the thing I want.
How do you deal with the pressure? You came into the World Championships this year with being the current world champion and you had a lot of pressure on yourself. How did you deal with it?
Well, usually I'm not stressed at all. So this was a new feeling for me. And usually no pressure, no nothing, you know. But this time it was different because when you're already the champion and it's a little, like you said, pressure, because you have to do it again. Everybody expects that. You in your mind expect that. And yeah, it's a bit difficult. You have to do what you have to do, you know, and that I lost, like I said, it's a big motivation for me to improve more and more and more and more. And that's it. Yeah.
That's super interesting. How did you develop the mindset? Is there anything that you can share how you came into this mode of just being like really this warrior mindset that you influence what you can influence, that you stay consistent? How did you become the person you are? Is it your parents who gave it to you? Is it maybe the culture? Because we know in Bulgaria there are crazy many athletes and the level of athletes is super high. What is the reason behind your warrior mindset?
Well, maybe for this one, there is one person. Absolutely the reason for this. This is Tai Chi, aka Alexander. Yeah, he helped me with this because I was on the edge, you know. I was about to quit with everything. And he was shoulder to shoulder with me every workout. I was really sad. I was crying every workout, like every workout for months, even years. And he was always with me. And he was like, don't worry, let's go, just do this, you can do it, even if I can't. He's like, let's go, do this, straddle, punch, 720, ice ball, everything. He taught me so many things and I'm really grateful for him. And if it wasn't him, I maybe probably wouldn't be even here. So he's the reason.
That's super interesting and reminds me of the story of Muhammad Ali, who was back then the biggest boxer and the most successful boxer. And he also had this friend who always told him, you're the champion, you're the champion, you're the greatest of all times. And he had him confirm the whole time. And like, it's like, you know, self-affirmations, like telling yourself you're great. But if there's someone from the outside, sometimes it's even stronger. Sometimes it's someone who pushes you through the times that are really hard. And I see this pattern for a lot of professional athletes. A lot of them have a good friend, a partner to push them through this time. That's super nice. And yeah, shout out to Tai Chi then.
Yes, big shout out to him. Of course, there are many people who helped me. The people that I talked about earlier, they were really with me all the time. But he was the main reason, you know.
And also with him, you're doing the programs today. So you are teaching people dynamics. Can you tell us more about it?
Yes, we are coaches, calisthenics coaches in a gym in Sofia, in Nadezhda. So we are doing this, I don't know, maybe 2 months, something like that. And we are really good with it for now. There aren't many people, but you know, the season is like everybody is on a vacation, everybody's doing their things, and not many people are starting the new journey, you know, of their lives. So maybe now when it's colder and everything, more people will come. But the programs and the website and everything is really great. We have many books, many programs. He's doing online coaching. We hope for more people and we just want to inspire, you know. That is the main reason we did this.
That's cool. So let's talk about Bulgaria. You're from Bulgaria, as we already said, and I already told there are so many strong athletes in statics, but also in dynamics in Bulgaria. Why is that? Why do you think Bulgaria has such a high level in comparison to Germany, where there are not a lot of athletes on a high level?
Well, we are just different here, you know. We are training in special ways which I didn't see the others are doing, you know. And the hype in the gym is crazy, because when you're in one gym with Christoph, with Netko, with Andrea, with me also, with Taichi, it's really crazy, Stefan and everyone, because we are always, you know, supporting each other. For example, I just do tuck plunge and everybody is like, oh, let's go do this tuck plunge, it's crazy, you're awesome, blah 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 blah, and stuff like that, you know. And when I have question, I don't double it to go and ask someone. Everybody's really nice, and like I said, the mindset and everything is really different there.
Is calisthenics or just movement a part of the culture as well? Like, are there workout parks outside? Do fathers go with their childs and go work out outside? Or how did you get in touch with the sport?
Well, we have many workout parks, but they're not big like your parks here, for example. They're structured with the bar and a few P-bars. We go really often in the summer, but in the cold days we are at the gym. And there are a lot of children, small children. We are helping them, of course, because some of them are really great for no reason. I mean, they just go and do pull-ups with their fathers, and the fathers don't understand. You know, the children are really great and we are helping, and yeah, it's crazy and really, really great.
How did you get in touch with the sport, like 8-9 years ago?
Well, it's a funny story, because I was really little, like I was 10 years old, and they made bars close to my home, and I went to the park with the bars, you know, and I was walking around with my friends, and I am so happy that my parents allow me to go outside. And everything was great, and my brother was training there on the bars because they were new and it was like a big thing, you know. And when I walk around the bars, he was like, yeah, come here with me, train with me, blah blah blah. I didn't want it that much, but with the time I started to like it. I started with this pull-up, you know. Mm-hmm. I couldn't do more. But then I started with one, then two, three, four, five. And I was like 10 years old doing five pull-ups. That was crazy, you know. Then the big guys started to come. The freestyle guys, the static. It was really awesome. And I was like, this is my thing. I want to do this. I want to fly like them. And basically that is how everything started.
How long did it take to, from the first pull-up and doing basics to switching to more statics and dynamics?
Like I said, I didn't see someone doing freestyle before, you know, when I was doing only the basics. Mm-hmm. And then when the big guys came, I saw them flying everywhere. And I just went to them, I asked them how, can you teach me, can you help me with something? And that is how it started.
Do you think it would be important to start with basics, no matter what you do later? Or could you start with statics and dynamics directly?
Of course, you need basics. Because if you can't do one pull-up, then how do you want to do straddle plunge, for example? They're not so much connected, but it's impossible, you know? So yeah, you should have some basic level of basics, then you can start the calisthenics, the actual calisthenics with mm-hmm. the statics and the dynamics and everything.
Did you have any touch points with gymnastics along the way?
No, I didn't. I've never trained gymnastics. My parents also never like thought about it. I was doing acrobatics when I was really little, like for 4 months or something like this, but nothing happened there because I was so scared of the height, you know, and I was no, I won't do this. And yeah, I quit.
And then you did diving, like,
yes.
Not skydiving, but diving, like, can you explain?
Yeah, I was training actually for some time, three sports, yeah, the acrobatics, swimming and diving. Then I quit the acrobatics, and so many years I was doing the diving and the swimming, but then the swimming teacher, the swimming coach told me, no, go with the diving because you are better at it. And I was like, okay. So I did diving for 6 years, 5-6 years, maybe something like this. But again, I was just scared of everything. And the coach at some point just told me, okay, just go with the street workout because I don't see you here. I see you thinking about the street workout, you're not even on the workouts, you know, mentally. So just go and live your life, be happy, and don't do sport that you don't like. So
that's true. That's what a lot of children do, that what their parents tell them to do. That's at least what I see, and it's true. You should really do what you like. So
yes.
Training doesn't feel like training, but more like having a good time and doing something nice. But it's interesting, like Simon Imhauser is also was also a swimmer before he did calisthenics.
Wow, I didn't know.
And maybe swimming is the secret to to becoming a pro freestyle athlete.
Yeah, maybe.
Provocative question again. Do you think you would be at the same level or near your same level if you would be 1.70 meters, let's call it? So do you think, what role do you think play your genetics in your success?
Yes, the genetics is important, of course, because in my opinion, I have the perfect genetics because I am really small and I am really light for my height, you know. Because there are girls with my height, but there are more kilograms, and I think that is it's not a problem, but for me it won't work because so maybe the genetics is a big role in this sport, but like we see Imhauser, he's really tall and he's really big, he's heavy and everything, but anyways he's doing the dynamics, the statics, everything perfect. In Bulgaria we also have two really heavyweight big boys who are doing crazy dynamics, crazy statics. Yeah, I don't think it's a problem for them. But for me, if I was taller, maybe it would be a problem. But I don't know, because I am not taller, so we're not gonna find out.
That's true. It's also important here to accept it. But I think it's interesting that you say I have the perfect genetics, because a lot of people are complaining, hey, my arms are too short, whatever. They have something to complain about their genetics. But I think it's important that you know you have your genetics, you can't change them. And it's important to work with them and to do the best you can with it.
Of course.
What is it like to be a girl in the sport? How do you see the difference between boys and girls, men and women?
It's really difficult for the female athletes to do the boy stuff, you know, because the genetics is completely different. If a guy can learn the straddle planche for example, 1 month, the girls, the time is like double or triple or even more. So it's really difficult, especially for me, because the level of my statics, for example, is not that great, as we know, and it's so hard to improve. I don't know exactly the reason, but this is one of the reasons, the genetics and everything. But overall, I really like the men's sports, and I don't feel different in some ways, you know. I just feel one of the community. I am really okay with everything. I don't like much girl sports, but I don't have a problem with them also, because I was doing dance before, but I just don't feel it.
Mm-hmm.
I've always been the man girl, you know, doing the extreme sports and everything. Yeah.
Can you tell us more about your training approach? How do you train statics? How do you train dynamics? Let's start with dynamics.
I train dynamics with statics, everything together, but the dynamics is depends on the day. For example, the minimum I train is like 30 minutes and it can be up to hour. It really it depends on my hands and how do I feel, am I tired? Is there a competition coming and blah, 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 and everything like that. And yes, basically that's it.
So I can imagine training dynamics is a lot of trial and error. Maybe first understanding a move and then it's a lot of trying and trying again. How is the journey of learning a skill like, I don't know, 360?
Yes, first, personally me, when I have to learn something or I want to learn something new in dynamics, the first thing I'm doing is to understanding the exercise. I'm just watching, for example, video of someone doing it, and then I analyze every step, everything, like this arm should be here, this leg should be here, the head, everything. Then I go and try. And if I can't do it, you know, like I don't understand something and I don't understand it from the video, I just go and ask, like I said, someone in the gym and they're telling me their ways to do it and stuff. But first and the most important thing is to understand the exercise, because you can't just go and do something crazy and you just like, no, it doesn't work like that.
So the limiting factor is the hands. Like for you, you said the ripping hands are often the limiting factor where you can't continue trying. But in general, dynamics is a lot about try.
Yes, just reps. Yes.
And how do statics differ from that? How do you approach statics workouts?
Well, the statics workouts are a bit harder for me. Because maybe this is the reason that I am not so good at it, because I don't fully understand the exercises. But again, when I try something in static, the first thing is I'm trying to understand, for example, the straddle planche, and you should know every part of your body. How does it work? Why does it work that way? Which part for what it is, you know, and you should feel your body on the position you are in and every single part, every single muscle, everything. So when I don't understand, I just watch a video or I ask someone.
So again, the surrounding is important, because if you have experienced people around you, like your friend who is also more into the sport, it's super helpful. I think in dynamics training, especially the fear of falling and failing is a big thing. How do you deal, especially when you said that you were also scared in diving and in acrobatics?
Yeah.
So I can imagine for dynamics it's the same, no?
Yes, of course it is the same. I'm scared of everything. I mean, everything. So at first place, it was really hard for me to do dynamics, because when I started, I was little and I was so scared of everything, because we were also training outside, and if I fall one time, it's the end of everything. So now with the gym, it's okay. But for example, when I was learning the frisbee, it was crazy journey. And I was really funny, because I was so scared not to fall on my neck, not to break my legs, not to break my fingers and everything like that. It was really crazy. But the first thing, again, when you go and learn something, and you have to overcome the fear first in your head, and you have to be 100% sure you are going, you are grabbing the bar and you are doing it no matter what. If you go and doubt yourself, you will fall 100%. And this is not good, because if you want to learn something, understand it, then overcome the fear and then do it. No doubt.
That's really important, I think. And especially for Dynamics, which is an extremely mindset game, I think. I see a lot of people struggling and stopping, and it's just you have to be able to handle your mind, basically.
Yes.
Can you tell us the workout routine for the week? You now talked about Dynamics, Statics. Do you combine them in a workout? Do you split them? How is your workout routine for a week?
Well, I train usually when I don't have competition. I train 4 times a week. And my workouts are simple. I go to the gym and I have a warm-up, good warm-up, like 20-30 minutes. It depends how I feel. And then I do my static. Then I start with some basic moves like straddle planche, tries, front lever, blah, blah, blah. And then going for the combos, or maybe when I want to learn something new, I just learn it then. And I'm trying some stuff or do my usual combos. Then I go to the freestyle and I do dynamics for like 30 minutes up to 1 hour, like I said, because of the hands. And then I'm doing basics, because with no basics I'm dead. Yes. Then a little bit of stretching and that's it.
What do you mean without basics you are dead?
If I don't do my basics, for example the straddle planche, I won't improve more, you know, because for me, and it should be for everyone, in my opinion, of course, everyone should do basics, and you have to improve with the basics for better level in static.
What are your basics that you regularly do?
I do different things. I don't do always this, and this. I change them. Actually, Dido from the gym is helping me with the basics and learning the static skills, and of course the dynamics one, but because the static is more problematic for me, he's helping me more with it. I always do different things. Maybe 1 month this, the other month this, and yeah.
But basics, we have the same definition, right? It's like push-ups, pull-ups, leg raises, L-sit, these things, or do you talk about different basics?
I'm talking about different kind of basics. I don't do the normal one that, with pull-ups, push-ups and everything. I simulate the exercise that I want to
master, perform.
Yes, to master. So when I train straddle planche, maybe I can do bends, you know, just putting the bends, and I hold as much as possible with the best form I can do. The Hefesto is the same. I am training it with bends, or simulating it in some way, whatever I find for good.
So you take off load from exercises, but perform them in the same form that you would do in your goal.
Yes. Okay. Yes. Yes.
Interesting. What is your favorite skill?
Favorite skill? So, for the static is the one-arm handstand. First place, one-arm handstand, the straddle planche, and the front lever, actually. I'm training it now, and I really like it, actually. I didn't expect it, but I like it.
Nice.
Yeah.
So, can you tell us the journey, how you got to the one-arm handstand? How did you unlock it?
It's a crazy story. I have the one-arm handstand maybe 6 years. I don't know, 5-6 years. I remember the first time I've done it on a competition. It was 2018 on the World Championship. Yes, it was my first big competition. I was 14 and the first element was the one-arm handstand. So I really love it since then. And at first I didn't want to learn it, because it seemed really impossible, because me standing on one arm, what? No thank you. But my father really wanted me to do it, and he convinced me, and I just had no choice. He was like, go and do the one arm handstand. So yeah, I had no choice. Like I said, he helped me a lot. He was my coach really long time. He was helping me, he's still helping me, but not that much, you know, because I can handle everything myself now. And yeah, he was a really big support for the starting. It was really important part.
Does he have any background in the sport?
Yes, actually he was acrobatic, yes, that is the word, and an Europe champion, and a lot of trophies, a lot of titles, a lot of everything, so many competitions. He was in America, he was in Asia, he was almost everywhere in the world, you know, every place, so many competitions and everything. He was even in the circus, yes, yeah. And yeah, he had a big journey with the sport and he's really passionate about everything.
Circus is really reminds me of, you have to master a skill, you know, it's not I can hold a handstand, but it's really about mastering, especially in the circus when you're, I don't know, how many meters above. We have Andre Strong, who is who performed in the circus. We have Dima Malachov, who's like participated in circus and these acrobatic shows. And I think really these people need to master a skill. You know, you can't just hold it every second try. You need to hold it really surely. And during these days of shooting, I realized that you also have the skill of like having the one-arm handstand, especially like super, super clean and super reliable. How did you get to this safety in the one-arm handstand and safety in your skills? Is it just repetition, or how do you deal with it, especially when there's a camera, when there are three cameras and holding everything, holding on you, and you're like, oh shit, I have to do it now. How do you deal with it?
First, you have to understand the skill, and I mastered it through the years, you know, because when I started learning it, I was doing 30 times, you know, trying 30 tries, but not just when I started to learning it and I actually held the handstand on one arm. Then my father said, I want 10 times, 10 tries, but you have to do it for 3 seconds. You can do all day, I mean like 30 tries, but you gotta have 10 times with 3 seconds. I don't want anything else from you. And maybe this is the reason I can do it, like I can even do it now. And that is the main reason.
That's super interesting, because I see this pattern of, yes, you need to have the habit, you need to have the consistency of training a lot, but it also needs to be structurized. If you are just trying without any plan, it doesn't bring anything. So before, you have to make yourself a plan, and a shortcut there is to have a coach. Yeah, so if I would have to define the secret formula of success in calisthenics, it would be you have to work hard, but it needs to be structurized, and you have to have show consistency. And if you, it's really helpful to have a coach or someone who already has experience, like your father, like Dido in the gym, you know, like these people who give you advice, who can look at you from the outside and give you a shortcut to success, basically.
Yes, yes, that is really important. If you have someone like this, that would be really great. And I think most of the athletes now, we don't like coaching and everything. This is the main reason that they are doing it, because they know how they were in the past, alone, little, they don't know what to do, like going on the bars, the gym, doing like some crazy stuff. And especially me, when I look back, when I look at my trainings, how they were structured, I didn't even warm up, you know. Mm-hmm. And then my father came and he was like, you are going to warm up because you're going to be really bad in the future. Thanks to him, I don't have any
injuries,
yes. Yeah, we are trying to help the new generation, like you said.
Yeah. And I think what is important, a good coach is not someone who is a good athlete himself, but also someone who saw a lot of people. Like, just because something is working for me, it doesn't mean it works for you, because you have different body dimensions, relations between the arms and legs, etc., etc. But as you said, it's important to understand the skills, to have the knowledge about the physics of a skill, and then to be able to apply it to someone.
Yes, yes, that is maybe Dido, like I said, he's really good at coaching, because he's not a good athlete, and that is not a secret for anyone, but he really understands the skills. For example, he's a gymnastic coach. He knows everything, but anyways, he bought a book just to improve the skills for understanding and learning the handstand, the most basic one element. So yeah, it's really important to really understand then to coach someone.
That's true. What are the next goals now? What is something you're currently working on?
The next goals for the next year, let's say, are to grow. I want to improve. I want to improve my social media content because with these competitions and everything, I just don't have time. But I will improve. I want to start a YouTube channel. So I'm thinking about it. The past year was crazy. I started a lot of new things, so I want to improve them. My programs, my ebooks, the coaching in the gym. It's not, like I said, it's not really hard because there are no advanced people, but still I need to learn more things. I need more knowledge. I will improve that also. I have really big goals even after this year. Yeah.
That's nice. And competition-wise, I know you have Beast of the Bars in December.
Yes.
And also one secret competition you can't talk about yet.
Yes, it's a secret, I won't tell you.
But that's super nice and I'm really looking forward to that. Talking about competitions, I think you had a really nice quote again from Dido, who seems to be one of the central persons of of this podcast episode. But in these extreme competition preparation periods, you're not progressing a lot. Maybe you can say the quote.
So, first thing I want to say is you can't progress when you work out like crazy. You have to chill, you know, you have to balance the workout and the chill. The quote that Dido said to me that really
touched or influenced.
Yes, was if you want to work out hardcore, you have to chill hardcore, you know. This is really impressive thought that he told me, and I'm really trying to go this way because I've had periods when I go really hardcore, but I don't chill hardcore, you know. So yeah,
and this is not long-term thinking because you risk injuries, you slowly get weaker, let's call it, because of not enough regeneration in the body. So crazy workouts need crazy rest.
Yes.
So yeah, I am super happy that we had these 3 days shooting, and I was like super lucky and impressed by how you perform your skills and how you act and not only on competitions but also in front of the camera, which is super crazy, just holding everyone on hands and holding everything, even though it was like really 3 long days. And yeah, I'm super happy that we made this podcast as well to share some of your insights with the community.
Yeah, I'm really happy that I got invited. I'm really happy for the shootings. I'm really happy with the podcast. Also, you're awesome people. And thanks for the great memories. Thanks for the great journey. And thanks for really everything. You are awesome.
Thank you. Keep crushing it. Good luck. Thanks everyone for listening. And yeah, talk to you and see you soon, hopefully.
See you.